Call to order the January 8th meeting of the Oak Ridge Board of Education. I will first call on Mr. Christopher Scott, principal of our Secret City Academy, to introduce tonight's program. Mr. Scott.
Good evening. It's a pleasure to be here representing Secret City Academy. We have brought a high school student and several middle school students to recognize this evening. So if it's okay, I'd like to introduce our high school student and allow him to lead us in the Pledge of Allegiance and then proceed with our middle school students. Okay. Our high school teachers wanted to recognize somebody who has shown exceptional character growth this school year. A student who has really turned a corner, began to have significant interest in themselves, their future, their progress in school. And we've asked that student to come here this evening and lead us in the pledge. And that student's name is Jackson Salpas.
If everyone would stand. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. Thank you.
Thank you, and keep up the good work.
Before I ask our middle school students to come up, I've given the board a handout that looks at our middle school students' progress this year with regard to reading and math. As you know, as part of the STEM emphasis across our school district, reading and math have a paramount importance. One of the priorities we have at Secret City Academy as we serve students who need adaptive education with regard to academics, behavioral health, and mental health is to work extensively with our students in both reading and math. All of our students receive intervention regardless of the level they come into the school building on a daily basis. So every day we have additional reading and we have additional math services in the building. With regard to reading, at the beginning of this school year, we had 5% of our students at grade level. 31 were approaching grade level, 31%. At the end of the fall semester, we had 68% of our students approaching grade level, and 12% of our students were above grade level. In math, much the same, 12% of our students were at grade level, and about half were approaching. As we finished the first semester, 75% of our students were approaching grade level, and 50% had exceeded grade level. The last line on the handout is growth, which is the most important indicator of quality of instruction and the dedication of staff. 88% of our students in math at the end of the first semester were either at pace for state expectations or exceeding pace for state expectations. And in reading, 88% were at and 72% were exceeding state expectations. The students we're recognizing this evening, along with others, have made over 1 year worth of growth in the first semester of school this year. And that is absolutely an indicator of both the students' dedication to their own growth, our teachers' dedication and skill to our students' progress, and the support of their parents. So, our middle school students, if you'd please come up.
Good
like to recognize each of these students who have all, in either reading, math, or both, have gained over a year's worth of progress this year alone. Alejandro Contreras, Colin James, Emma Lane, Freddie Yates, Lamar Hatcher, Evan Wilder, Haley Crawford, not with us this evening, but also made the same gains as Laquan Foster, Riley Gard, Zylon Hudson, Ryan Gurley, Malachi Kirk, Connor Scroach, and Stacy Martinez. Congratulations to all of our students.
Before you leave and before they sit down, these are the types of opening programs that we really like. You said this, but it bears repeating. The success of what you're talking about certainly relies on the quality of instruction and the dedication of the staff that you have that are willing to work and search for this improvement. But it also takes the students understanding the value of education and their willingness to work, the support, as you said, of their parents to help them reach these goals and this achievement. We're so proud of you, and let's give them another round of applause.
Thank you so much for having us this evening. Before I relinquish the microphone, we have a number of staff members from Seeker City here today, and if all of you would please raise your hand. Ultimately, I keep the lights on, make sure the heat's going. The magic is done by that group right there. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Scott. Next item is the approval of the agenda. Do I hear a motion?
So moved.
Second.
Motion made by Mr. Eby, seconded by Ms. McLean. Any additions or corrections to the agenda? Hearing none, all those in favor signify by saying aye. Aye. Opposed. Motion carries. Next item is special reports and presentations. The first item under that section is our good news section, just some of the good news and good things that are going on in the Oak Ridge schools, and we're going to go first tonight to Dr. Borchers.
All right, thank you very much. I think everybody in this room probably knows what I'm going to talk about, but for those on TV, they'll be able to hear it possibly for the first time, but just very happy to have had Oak Ridge High School attend claim or certify their high school as an Advanced Ed STEM certified high school. And what that means is they were the first high school in the state of Tennessee, and I think probably the world, to get that designation. And by having every one of our schools earn that certification, we became the first in the state of Tennessee and the second district in the world to have every school in the district Advanced Ed STEM certified. I can't tell you the amount of work that our staff has put into this, the leaders you see before you and the countless teacher leaders that are home, hopefully staying warm and safe. The amount of time that they put into this certification is greatly appreciated. On our website, you'll find some things, and I'm going to read just a few things so our viewers kind of know just how significant this is. But you'll find some information about Advanced Ed and the STEM certification process. One of the pieces, it's important to know that Advanced Ed partners with 34,000 educational institutions across the United States and in 70 other nations. So this is a fairly significant worldwide organization that looks for quality and continuous improvement in the area of STEM. And I couldn't be happier and more proud of, the work that our people have done, that what our teachers have done, and our community and parents in regard to this. So I think it's a huge accomplishment for the Oak Ridge Schools.
Mr. Eby.
Yeah, one thing that I also like to say is that I understand that Advanced Ed is sort of the merger of what we used to know as SACS in the Northern, but SACS was the Southern Accreditation of Colleges and Schools and Systems. So, I mean, that, you know, was the accrediting body for secondary schools and for schools within the system. And so this isn't just some organization. This is a very highly credible organization that that's STEM certification.
Absolutely, and I think that's very important for people to know. This is not just a stamp on our website. This was a thorough vetting using rubrics developed by Advanced Ed STEM certification and a rigorous process as well. So, again, couldn't be more proud of our staff.
Absolutely. Thank you. Mr. Eby.
Yes, hard to beat the good news from Secret City Academy in that. Here's some other good news. This is from Oak Ridge High School. We had a U.S. Air Force Academy student from Tennessee has been named a Rhodes Scholar. Rhodes Trust said that Jesse Singh, a 2014 graduate of Oak Ridge High School, is one of only 32 students from the United States who will receive a full financial support to study at the University of Oxford in the United Kingdom. He's a senior at the Air Force Academy, and he's pursuing a bachelor's degree in mechanical engineering. His research addressed questions of policy, ethics, and the management of military assets and nuclear weapons. At Oxford, he will read for his master's degree in engineering science. Pretty impressive.
Ms. Eagle.
And from Jefferson Middle School, where we're getting rather accustomed to hearing good news about the first LEGO League team, we need to congratulate them tonight for competing in Knoxville in the qualifier on Saturday, December 9th at Hardin Valley Academy. The JMS Master Builders received the first place Core Values Trophy. The Radioactive Bricks received second place Champions Trophy. And the Atomic Eagles received first place Champions Trophy and the second place Robot Performance Trophy. All three teams will be advancing to the East Tennessee Championship in February. Good job, guys. Keep at it.
If you'll, in just a moment, focus your attention on the screen behind me, my good news is that three of our administrative staff members have been out looking for additional work.
Oh, the weather outside is frightful, but a snow day would be delightful. Since the roads are all so slick, just stay home, just stay home, just stay home. We hope to reopen tomorrow, as closing creates a sorrow. Your safety is our main concern. Just stay home, just stay home, just stay home.
And we hope they keep their day job. But you know, they have pretty good voices. We might have to tap into those voices for some future use somewhere on down the road. That's great. That's really Very fitting.
I'm going to change seats next.
One of the things that the Board of Education began doing in late 2017 is asking each school within our district to submit names of individuals who volunteer at their school and who make a significant difference in their program. At each of our meetings, as we started back in 2017, until the end of this school year, we will be recognizing volunteers from the various schools at a board meeting. Then we will be selecting one of those volunteers to serve as our representative to the Tennessee School Board Association as they select a statewide volunteer of the year. Tonight we have two additional volunteers. Our first one is from Glenwood, and I've been sitting back there practicing this, and I'm gonna probably mess up. You know, you always, when you know you're going to make a mistake, always make excuses from the beginning. So I would like Cynthia Barrieta to, that's close, to please come up. And if I could get you to stand right there. As I said, this is from Glenwood Elementary School. Cynthia is from Mahoney Bahita. You were close with that. Financial resources. And she and her firm provide child identification cards to the students at Glenwood free of charge. Cynthia put each student's information and their digital fingerprints on a CD so that parents can print extra identification cards for relatives and child care providers. Glenwood and the Oak Ridge School District appreciates this help and appreciates you in help keeping our students safe. Join me in please congratulating Cynthia. And we have just a small token of our appreciation, and it reads, recognizes you for your support, dedication, and service as a volunteer for the Oak Ridge Schools.
Thank you very much.
Thank you. Next, I'd like to ask Mr. Stephen Barnes if he would please come up and join me. And I'd ask, Mr. Barnes was actually nominated by two schools, both of our middle schools. So I'd ask Mr. Layton and Ms. Childress, representing Jefferson and Robertsville, to come up. And I've got a big, long thing here, but I've kind of narrowed it down. I'm going to turn it over to those who see Mr. Barnes in action. But let me just tell you a little bit about Stephen and his work with the Oak Ridge Schools. This comes first from Jefferson. Mr. Barnes serves on our leadership team and has been instrumental in working with us to help facilitate ideas and needs, including Microsoft tools and resources. In addition, he works to help provide ideas and perspective from one of the leading companies in educational technology and beyond. And I'll follow up with a statement from Robertsville. Mr. Barnes is currently a Microsoft Enterprise Service Delivery as a Service Practice Director. He works with clients to increase productivity, mitigate risk, and leverage IT for business. He and his wife, and I've gotten some strange names to go tonight, Vidya, who is here tonight, and his two children, Kaya, and Malia, I'm batting zero, are here with us tonight. In his spare time, he enjoys baseball and helps with the Oak Ridge High School baseball team as an assistant, golf, spending time with his family. Stephen is also a member of the Atomic City Sportsman Club and Oak Valley Baptist Church, and I'm going to turn it over to whichever one of you all want to go first.
Thank you, Mr. Phil Hauer. I would also like to add, Mr. Barnes has come to Jefferson Middle School. This actually kind of generated itself last spring. We had planned a trip. The middle school administrators had gone to a conference in Seattle. And when we were telling Mr. Barnes, Mr. Cox and I were telling him about our trip that was upcoming at a fifth grade rising orientation. And his comment to us was, hey, you guys wanted to see Microsoft while you're out there? And we thought, well, yeah, of course we do. And we not only got to see Microsoft, we pretty much got like a VIP tour with Microsoft Campus Rockstar. And so you got to walk around with, you know, a really important guy at a really amazing place. And our heads all kind of hurt by the time we left because of the things we learned, some of which I don't think we're allowed to share publicly, but they were really impressive, just the things that are upcoming. So this spawned Mr. Cox to ask Mr. Barnes if he would be a participant and a member of our school leadership team, which he has been since the beginning of the year. In that capacity, he's come and he's met with our leadership team on multiple occasions. And, you know, we do talk a lot about educational technology when we have Mr. Barnes come in, but he also talks a lot about leadership in general and building capacity with staff and shared leadership, not just for the educational field, that also our school leadership team can see that in other professions and how it works. And he's introduced us to a lot of different texts and books to read, and a lot of our staff, especially on the leadership team, has really embraced a lot of the growth mindset that we talk about in those meetings, as well as grit and some of these things that are not only trending in education but also trending in other professions. He came and met with and spoke to our entire staff at the beginning of the year. It was really neat story because Mr. Barnes is an alum of Jefferson Middle School, well, Jefferson Junior High School, when he and I attended there, as well as Oak Ridge High School. So he has been a valuable, instrumental member of our leadership team, because every so often, Mr. Cox and I, we can continue to talk about the changes that are coming in education, but when you have someone who's an expert in the field, who's an expert in the industry, who can come in and show and also explain the amazing things that we're doing are going to have major impact on our students as they become young adults and they get into the workforce, and he can support that. And he does a phenomenal job of building those relationships within the Jefferson community. And I'll turn it over to Dr. Childress from Robertsville Middle School.
Well, Mr. Barnes has been such a great support to us at Robertsville Middle School, and he has served as a strong stakeholder in our building. He has served on our advisory council and is always there as a helping hand to give us some guidance as a staff. But most importantly, not only does he support us as a faculty, he supports our students. He serves as a mentor to our Tech Titans and our Titans, and that is the most valuable thing to us at Robertsville, is that not only is he giving back to support our faculty and the adults in our building, but he's giving back to the community and to our students. And his wife has also been very valuable in mentoring our students at Robertsville. So thank you so much, Mr. Barnes. You've made such a difference in the lives of our school and our staff, but most importantly, to our students. Thank you so much.
And again, just a small token of our appreciation for your support, dedication, and service as a volunteer for the Oak Ridge Schools.
Thank you. Appreciate it.
And Cynthia, I'd like for you to come back up. We want to get a picture of both of you. And again, these are just two of the many volunteers that assist the Oak Ridge Schools, and we could not do without their services. And again, greatly appreciate both of you being here tonight, and let's thank them again and another round of applause. and you won't hurt our feelings if you all need to go ahead and leave. Thank you for coming. Next, we move to the public forum. Public forum is for anyone who would like to address a topic that is not on the agenda. You may address that topic when it is presented. If you choose to address the board, you will have 3 minutes to speak. The board may or may not respond to your comments or may have the superintendent address your concerns. When you speak, please come to the podium and sign in and then state your name and address for the board. Is there anyone who wishes to address the board at this time? We've about run all our audience out, haven't we? Seeing no one, we will move on to the consent agenda. Do I hear a motion?
Move for approval.
Second.
Motion made by Ms. Agle, seconded by Ms. Marshall. All those in favor of approving the consent agenda signify by saying aye. Aye. Opposed. Motion carries unanimously. Moving next to items for action. The first item A, is the FY17 audit report for the Oak Ridge Schools. Dr. Borchers.
Mr. Chairman, I recommend approval of the FY17 financial audit report for Oak Ridge Schools.
You have heard the superintendent's recommendation. Do I hear a motion?
Move for approval.
Second.
Motion made by Ms. McLean, seconded by Mr. Eby. Dr. Borchers.
I'm going to turn to Ms. Pat Smith to talk about the audit done by Brown, Jake, and McDaniel.
Hi, Brown, Jacob, McDaniel has completed our financial audit for the year ending 2017. This was the first of a three-year contract. They are new with our school district. We have been thoroughly delighted, and it's been a wonderful working relationship. I can say they are very thorough. We had several people come through and say, all of those stacks of paper on those conference room tables all the way around, and just to think somebody has to put all those back. So I can say they were very thorough, and we were very pleased with their work. We have Terry Motes here with Brown, Jake, and McDaniel. He's a partner with their firm, and he's going to give you a brief overview of the audit results.
Thank you, ladies and gentlemen of the board. Just want to take a couple of minutes and go over our reports related to the financial statement audit for the Oak Ridge Schools for fiscal year 17. I understand that you all have a PDF file of that. If y'all want to follow along, you may. If not, that's fine as well. For your reference, auditor report page 7, PDF file page 13 is our independent auditor's report. This is one of three reports that we presented on the school system's financial statements. And that report is basically what we call an unqualified opinion report. That's the highest level of assurance that we can give on a financial statement. Which means basically that we believe that the financial statements and the notes to those financial statements are fairly presented and accurate. So that is, a lot of people call that a clean opinion. So that is our first report. And I'll go ahead and say, if y'all have any questions for me as I go over these, please don't hesitate to stop me at any point in time. But anyway, main report, the independent auditor's report, a clean opinion, unqualified opinion on the financial statements. Also, whenever we're preparing a audit in accordance with government auditing standards, there's either one or two additional reports that have to be completed. For the Oak Ridge school systems, there was actually two additional reports, and that was because the school system receives in excess of $750,000 of federal financial assistance. So there is basically a internal control report on compliance that has to be completed as well. The first report I will talk about is on page 143 of the PDF. It's page 133 on the financial statements. And the title of this report is quite long, but it's the Independent Auditor's Report on Internal Control Over Financial Reporting and on Compliance and Other Matters Based on an Audit of Financial Statements Performed in Accordance with Government Auditing Standards. And that's a big, long title to basically say, in layman's terms, whenever we're preparing for an audit, we have to gain an understanding of the school's internal controls. However, we're not giving an opinion on your internal controls. We're giving an opinion on the financial statements, which we do in the independent auditor's report. However, we are still performing certain audit procedures on those internal controls so that we can gain an understanding to design our audit procedure, our remaining audit procedures. And if during the course of gaining that understanding or in performing those audit procedures on those internal controls, we come across any deficiencies or significant deficiencies or material weaknesses or any compliance issues, we're required to report those. Happy to say we did not have any of those items to be reported. We do not give an opinion on internal controls in this report. It's just a matter of reporting items identified, which there was none. So that's a positive. So the third report is the report on the federal financial assistance. And basically, we have to go through a procedure of selecting major programs, and that is where you receive the largest portion of your funding from federal dollars. And we audit those for compliance, and it's management's responsibility to establish the controls and the procedures to make sure that you all comply with those findings, and it's our job to come in and audit those controls and those compliance items to make sure that you adhere to those. And in, during the course of performing our audit, we audited two programs, the Head Start program and the Special Education program, for this past fiscal year. And I'm happy to say that we had no compliance findings related to either one of those programs, and we issued a clean opinion on those. Great report, great audit, and in conclusion, I'll just tell you that you have great personnel in your business services department and heading up your grant programs. They are very knowledgeable. They know what they're doing. And happy to get to work with them this past year and look forward to working with them in the future.
Any questions, Mr. Eby?
Thank you for the complete audit. And I know it says that, you're not required and that you didn't identify any material weaknesses, et cetera. Is there anything that you would recommend that we do differently? Do you provide recommendations or?
We generally only provide recommendations whenever we note at least a significant deficiency that's reported. And since we had none, I do not, our job is basically to come in and give an opinion that the financial statements are fair and accurate. And then if there's any deficiencies, then we will give a recommendation at that point. But there was no items in where we needed to make a recommendation.
Other questions from the board members? Ms. Smith, any additional comments?
When did you do this audit? Over what period?
The time period that we were looking at was July 1st of 16 to June 30th, 17. The work began right at the end of June 30th, and we did most of our field work the month of August. Some of the information is not available to the state from the state until later for your compliance, retirement, et cetera. So a lot of that work was not done until October and November, and then the financial statements completed in December.
Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Item B, Board Policy 4.700, Testing Programs.
Did we have to
accept? Oh, no, we've got to approve that. I'm sorry, we do. I got so excited that there was no findings or nothing and everything. Let's just move on and get them out of here and not give them another chance to come back and say anything. Okay. Motion on the floor then is approval of the FY17 audit report for the Oak Ridge Schools. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries unanimously. Thank you again, and certainly I know you all are certainly free to go, and but you're welcome to stay if you'd like to. Next, item B is Board Policy 4.700, Testing Programs, and this is a second reading. Dr. Borchers.
Mr. Chairman, I recommend approval of Board Policy 4.700, Testing Programs.
Per the superintendent's recommendation, do I hear a motion?
Move for approval.
Second.
Motion made by Ms. McLean, seconded by Ms. Eagle. Dr. Bortress.
This is a second reading, and we've seen this policy a lot over the last year or so. And if the board remembers, Dr. Beckendorf talked a lot about the second page of this policy in the weighting of the scores.
Dr. Beckendorf.
There was a question at the last board meeting, I believe, about the likelihood of the scores actually being included in students' grades this year. When looking at the information that has come out from the state, it looks like they will be included in high school students' grades and will not be included in students' grades in earlier grades, just based upon the dates that we will receive the scores.
Questions from the board?
I would like to propose an amendment, and my amendment is to change the title from testing programs to system-wide testing programs. And the reason being is that, as read through this again, like in line 13, superintendent of schools shall be responsible for planning and implementing the program. I don't think the superintendent is going to implement the program for all the tests that teachers do throughout the year. And that kind of gave me a little problem. So just to clarify that we're talking about a system-wide testing program, I move that we just add at the title system-wide testing program instead of our overall testing program.
And you're making that as a motion?
I am.
Do I hear a second?
Second.
Any discussion on the amendment? Hearing none. We'll be voting on the amendment, which is to change the title of Board Policy 4.700 from testing programs to system-wide testing programs. All those in favor of making that change signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries unanimously. Now back to the policy as amended. Are there any additional questions or comments from the board? Hearing none, on second reading, Board Policy 4.700, system-wide testing programs. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries unanimously. Moving on to item C, Board Policy 4.502, parent and family engagement. This is also a second reading. Dr. Bortress.
Mr. Chairman, I recommend approval of Board Policy 4.502, Parent and Family Engagement.
Per the superintendent's recommendation, do I hear a motion?
Move for approval.
Motion made by Mr. Eby, seconded by Ms. Marshall. Dr. Bortress.
Again, a second reading here. Dr. Beckendorf has briefed the board on this policy, and many of the changes are due to ESSA.
Comments or questions? Or Dr. Beckendorf, any comments?
No additional comments.
Comments or questions from the board? Hearing none on second reading, Board Policy 4.502, Parent and Family Engagement. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Motion carries unanimously. Item D is addition of a 1.0 special education teaching position. Mr. Lay, did you have a chance to that's a nurse. Sorry.
Yes, sir.
That'll be our last item.
Yeah, that's the last. That's a nurse.
Yep.
Yeah. Okay. Sorry. Dr. Bortress.
Mr. Chairman, I recommend approval of an additional 1.0 special education teacher position for the remainder of FY18 due to the increase of student population on IEPs at Robertsville Middle School.
For the superintendent's recommendation, do I hear a motion?
Move to approve.
Second.
Motion made by Ms. Marshall, seconded by Ms. McLean. Dr. Bortress.
And as the board can see from the attachment there, you'll have some case numbers and also a note that the funding will come from the remaining money and salaries and benefits available in the special education budget for this position.
Questions?
I thought it was really interesting. I actually just kind of in my head added up the number of students that get an IEP, and I think this is over 700 students, which is about 15% of our total student population that is on IEPs. And this goes back to my point early on that we need to continue to identify to the city the amount of cost that it is to, fund special education students, because that's one thing that drives our cost up, which is good. I'm not saying that's not good. It's good. But when people compare our cost to cost of other per pupil for other schools, I was just curious to know how many, what percent of the other schools are have IEPs, et cetera. So.
Dr. Herbard, do you have any idea on those percentages? And I think in addition to those comments, Mr. Eby, we also hear, I think, in the community and in the region, the quality of program that we have in special ed, which also draws, I think, some families to
I know
to
families who just specifically move into Oak Ridge because of the quality of the special ed program.
And I'm going to follow up while you're thinking there to also add to that is, as I looked over this, I was curious to know the number in this grouping that we have here that are tuition students. And you may not have that right readily handy, but at some point in time, I think that I'd be interested in knowing that.
I would have to ask Dr. Henderson on the number of tuition students that that are on an IEP right now. But the as far as other programs that are available within other districts, I will tell you this, the quality that we offer in Oak Ridge schools is one of the reasons why I think a lot of the people are moving to Oak Ridge. And so whether they reside in a permanent house or they're moving in with other families or receiving assistance, they are coming here for a reason. And so you see a lot of those numbers, and they vary between resource inclusion, CDC, and things like that. And so we have to be mindful of that, and I think that it's important that we need to become, we need to watch our certifications, whether we become dual certified, looking at the strategies inside our regular ed classrooms and how we work with those and manage those behaviors, whether it be emotional disturbances or anxiety, ADHD, and all those other things. So it is tough, and they do take up some of our resources, but they're also valuable members of our schools and students that can do a lot of great things within our schools. And so we are seeing tremendous things that can be done both with the students and with the staff that we have.
At budget time, I will ask the question of, can we estimate what our dollars per pupil expenditures for special ed students are versus regular students?
That'd be an interesting question. And So I will give you a breakdown, actually, of what we're serving, because that was one of the questions earlier, what we have in speech only, what we're doing with OTPT, what we contract out. As far as OTPT with Kids Cabin, with Kingston Academy, outside agencies, with Gifted, with Resource, with CDC. I think it's interesting if we break down all the numbers, where we're putting all of our resources as far as when we're serving our students. And then those students that aren't being served with an IEP, what is it that we are spending?
Yeah, that'd be great. Thank you.
Okay. Any other questions?
Well, this is just an aside. I know, and my numbers may be off, Dr. Childress. You may can give me the exact number. I know we will be losing one of our special education teachers who's served over 40 years, I think, and Dr. Bob O'Connor at Robertsville, which will be a huge loss to Robertsville and to the special education area as well. And hopefully we'll find someone that will be able to step in there and move that program forward as he did.
Yes, once we receive his letter and a letter of intent and a proper notification, then we will seek out the right person, because that position cannot take just any person. That takes the right person to work with that population. So, but we will dearly miss him once we receive that letter, but we will try to seek out the right person to fulfill those big shoes.
Will they have to be able to pop popcorn?
That's up to RMS.
Other questions? Okay, the motion on the floor then is addition of a 1.0 special education teaching position. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries unanimously. Item E, FY budget transfer number one. This is first reading. Dr. Borchers.
Mr. Chairman, I recommend approval of budget transfer number one as outlined on the attached information.
You've heard the superintendent's recommendation. Do I hear a motion?
Move to approve.
Second.
Motion made by Ms. Marshall, seconded by Ms. Eagle. Dr. Borchers.
There are two attachments, I think, that contain all the information about this first budget transfer on the first reading. If the board recalls, we discussed bringing a mid-year transfer at one of our retreats. We talked about this, and you're seeing some of those things that we talked about during our board retreat. We've done this for the last couple of years, looked at making a mid-year look to see where we're at budget-wise, and as a team, the executive directors, along with Ms. Pat Smith, we met numerous times to provide this list, and that's there for your discussion and approval this evening.
Questions from the board? Ms. Eagle.
Do we need to amend this one on page 3 of the PDF for the nursing position that we will be discussing at the end? Because this has a spot for adding 0.25, and I think that's going to be changed.
I'm going to look to the three to my right here, and we can decide about the amendment. The 0.25, and Ms. Smith, correct me if you need to, the 0.25, I believe, that is in this particular budget transfer is the general fund that we're allotting for. And the last item you see tonight is an additional 0.25 from title. So, Ms. Smith, do you want to tell us from the finance side if we have to change anything in this particular item?
We do not have to change anything in this one. We will come through later. You will see that 0.25 on the federal side.
Okay.
Anyone else? On first reading, FY18 budget transfer number one. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Motion carries unanimously. Item F, new high school courses and pathways for 2018-19. Dr. Borchers.
Mr. Chairman, I recommend approval of the new high school courses and pathways for the 18-19 school year, and you can see the attachment for more additional information.
Heard the superintendent's recommendation. Do I hear a motion?
Move for approval.
Second.
Motion made by Ms. Eagle, seconded by Mr. Eby. Dr. Borchers.
If there's any additional questions, we ask that Ms. Amber Roberts be here this evening, as she is near and dear to these and the program of studies at Oak Ridge High School. So I'll ask her if there's any questions from the board.
Ms. McClain.
I had a question about the AP Capstone Symposium and the Capstone Research. I think it's a fabulous opportunity, and I love all the benefits that you put in the course. Some of the disadvantages that you put in, one of them was the scheduling and the use of the zero period. I think it's great that we have so many opportunities for our kids to take AP classes. I just want to make sure that we are allowing them to be kids, and using some common sense in the amount of AP classes that they're taking. It's just my thought.
We do ask our students, and there's a section of our academic planning guide where we ask our students and our families to be mindful of their course load. There's a section there about post-secondary applications and what colleges look for on their students' applications to college, and we do ask them to be mindful of that and be mindful of their course load. We actually have parents sign off if a student signs up to take more than four or more honors or AP courses. We discourage that.
Mr. Eby.
I too am pleased to see additional opportunities, courses you know, cyber, I mean, I think that's an excellent course and can meet the needs of a lot of people. But then I read these things, do we already have Oak Ridge staff who are certified to teach these courses? And I see no besides some of these things. It makes me ask the question first, are we giving something up? And how do we determine what we give up? Do we have numbers that says, yes, some of these classes we think that can meet? And are we spreading ourselves too thinly, or are we going to have, you know, three and four in a class? What's the process that we go through?
So the first process, as far as certification goes, we would ask teachers. There are actually two teachers who are very interested in the AP Capstone program currently. We probably only have one of those, have one class looking at capping that class for the first year. It would be the seminar course. That would replace our current ESR course, which is experimental scientific research. Dr. Sharon Thomas is going to be teaching that class if it is approved by the board. We would need to send her to training for AP Capstone, and there are funds available for that via the funds raised by the AP Summer Institute that we offer at Oak Ridge High School. In terms of, I'm trying to think of all the courses we put in, the other course that we were looking at was the statewide dual credit course for pre-calculus. Our teachers would have to go to a training, which is provided by the state for free, and then they, once they have received that training, that course is of no cost, and it's actually replacing our current pre-calculus AB and pre-calculus BC courses. It's almost the identical curriculum. It would just add the addition of a student being able to take the challenge exam, passing and earning college credit. And then I would ask Ms. Holly Cross to help me out with some of the cybersecurity associate of science degree courses. She's been working very closely with Roan State on those, about the training that I think right now it looks like they would be, Roan State would be providing the instructors for those courses.
I'll echo what Amber said. We are working closely with Roan State, and we are looking at two different options in the cybersecurity, which I think show on your sheet. One is an AS, an Associate of Science, which actually transfers on the Tennessee Transfer Pathway to other institutions in the state. And the other one is an AAS, which actually prepares a student to immediately go into the workforce after they graduate. So there are benefits of each of those programs, and as we said, we are looking to Roan State to partner for the instructors for those classes. And as a preparation for some of the cybersecurity, we already have in place some programming classes, and AP Computer Science and AP Computer Science principles are already in place at the high school.
So then what you would do is, if you partnered with Roan State on this, is that you would identify, ask the students when they schedule, you know, see if enough students sign up to it to, you know, that Roan State then would agree to provide an instructor for that. Is that how it works?
Exactly. Okay. Exactly.
And because of this partnership, I know in the conversations I've been in, they are committed to doing this. So what they were looking for is a commitment from us. So we are ready to go with this program. It's going to take some time, I think, to grow the program, but obviously the need is there, not only in our community, but across the country.
Yeah, I talked to Chris Whaley at ETEC, and he was very positive about Oak Ridge Schools working with Roan State on that. So,
kind of in that same line of thinking, my memory needs refreshing here a little bit. As we add these courses, and then you mentioned that there would be some of these courses would be replacing some existing courses. As we go through the registration process, at what point do we – when do we get to the point, or do we look back as this year to numbers as far as classes that maybe we don't need to be offering?
That's a good point. So we actually are just starting the registration process at Oak Ridge High School. We trained our staff on how to make recommendations just this past Wednesday at our faculty meeting. The next step will be for students to actually go home and register for those courses, or select those courses and then register in February. We'll have basically a sign-up sheet for each course by the end of February, so we'll know the interest in each course that we offer. Some courses might not make, some courses do make. And it also helps us decide how many sections of each course we need for that registration process.
again, refreshing my memory, so if we have three students sign up for a class, what is the process of directing those students elsewhere?
We're asking, especially this year, for students to list two alternate courses so that if there aren't enough students to make a section of a course offering, they would go to their first or second alternate.
Are we at a point where we're doing or even ready to do online registration?
Not yet. I think Skyward has that capability, but we are not using that at this point. They call that the walk-in scheduler.
And then we'd follow that with online courses?
Yeah. Other questions? Thank you.
You're welcome.
Other questions from the board? Motion on the floor, new high school courses and pathways for 2018-19. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Motion carries unanimously. Item G, reorganization and restructuring of the finance department. Dr. Borchers.
Mr. Chairman, I recommend approval of the reorganization and restructuring of the finance department as outlined in the attachments.
Heard the superintendent's recommendation. Do I hear a motion?
Move to approve.
Second.
Motion made by Ms. Marshall, seconded by Mr. Eby. Dr. Borchers.
As the board knows, we've been having some outside consultants and Lean Frog come through, and with Ms. Gagliano's departure gave us an opportune time to review our finance department and to check out about our processes and things like that. The attachment, I think, explains in detail where we would like to move. I'm going to read a few things from that attachment just so it's clear. After a thorough analysis of the recommendations received for improving the financial and budgeting operations and the needs of the business department, an analysis of the current staff and positions within the department revealed us that a restructure and a realignment to flatten the departmental organization would be more effective. I propose a realignment and restructuring of the department, which includes the following changes. Elimination of the position of Executive Director of Business and Operations, and replace that with the position of Director of Finance, and I'd be asking Ms. Pat Smith to fill that role. The elimination of the position of Business Supervisor, and instead add the position of Senior Accountant, and then an addition of a Data Analyst and Reporting Specialist position. And it should be noted on page 2, the realignment and restructuring of the finance department as proposed will not impact the FY18 fiscal services budget, and that's primarily due to attrition and position realignments. And I have to add that I believe we've had a very thorough deep dive into the finance department, and I think what has come out of that, and the board has seen in the presentation by Lean Frog, that there are opportunities for improvement, and I believe Pat and the team in the finance department are ready and willing and already implementing some of those changes.
Questions?
I think this is a great example of how you've used Lean Frog to come up with process improvements, and I commend you and commend the staff for bringing this. I really don't have any comments or questions other than just say that, you know, I think this is a perfect example of how we can reduce costs and improve efficiency.
Ms. McClain.
Under the previous job description, transportation, food service, and maintenance were included. Who's getting those?
Mr. Lay asked for those. He was very excited for transportation. Food service will still remain with Ms. Smith. That may be something that Pat and I have a discussion about after we see how that goes for the year, although our Aramark services really run quite efficiently and without much direction, but I want Pat to be in that role for a while to give any types of recommendations. But at this point, maintenance and operation and transportation will still remain under Mr. Lay.
Ms. Engel.
If I remember correctly, one of the new state laws impacting education starting January 1st is that every school district will have to have somebody trained by the state who oversees transportation. Does that mean that we send Mr. Lay back to school?
Better yet, he's already been there to some of the sessions that are offered. Is that not correct, Mr. Lay?
I have already attended session number one, and I will brag just a little bit. I may be making a mistake. Last week we had a phone number posted on the bumper of each bus, and I just kept thinking, wow, I mean, this has tremendous potential for a lot of phone calls, and we did not receive the first phone call, which I think is a testament to the manner in which our drivers drive our buses. So yes, I have attended the first session. There are many more sessions to come, and the state basically has increased their expectation of the transportation supervisors, and there will be continued training, but it is a learning process, but we are well on our way. So.
And I think I can safely speak for the board. Ms. Smith, we greatly appreciate your stepping into this in mid-year. Not that you haven't been in there, but to step up and your willingness to move forward with this and to take this position, we're excited as a board to have you there and appreciate very much your willingness to do that. Okay, motion on the floor is the reorganization and restructuring of the finance department. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Motion carries unanimously. Item H, resolution to amend letter grading of Tennessee Public Schools. Dr. Borchers.
Mr. Chairman, I recommend approval of the resolution to amend letter grading of Tennessee Public Schools. This resolution urges the Tennessee General Assembly Senate Education Committee to immediately amend legislation mandating the assignment of letter grades to Tennessee Public Schools.
Per the superintendent's recommendation, do I hear a motion?
Move to approve.
Second.
Motion made by Ms. Eagle, seconded by Ms. McLean. Dr. Borchers or...
I'll turn to Dr. Beckendorf, and this could be probably a two-hour presentation. We're not going to do that this evening, but for the board's knowledge, at our joint work session, Dr. Beckendorf, again, will be bringing the city council up to speed on this A through F grading, and we'll have a 10-minute segment on that joint work session next week. But Dr. Beckendorf, anything in general you'd like to say?
Even 10 minutes is very short, but to say it in a nutshell, the accountability model that schools will be that the state will be using for schools this year is very, very complex, and the reason for the complexity is probably of good intent to give lots of opportunities for schools to succeed in different ways. The problem with using the letter grades on top of that complexity is that it gives an appearance of simplicity to something that's very complex. So, for example, one school could have an achievement grade of B, and another school could have an achievement grade of B, and they have completely different reasons for receiving those grades. You might assume that a B means they have high achievement. Well, that might mean that, or it might mean that they made a lot of progress in the previous school year. So it's going to be really difficult to actually say that a B here means a B there, or a C here means a C there. But because so many people have experience with receiving grades throughout their lives, where A means really good, B means good, C means average, D means poor, and F means failing, is that it will give this kind of false impression of simplicity over something that's really complex. So we disagree with the false simplicity of the grading system and think that we should have accountability without the pretense of simplicity so that we can talk to our public about and our communities about what we received and why we received it without giving some false impressions.
Mr. Eby.
I think it's a good synopsis. And the other thing that we have in this resolution talks about having two schools within the same city being graded. And, you know, as you say, one could be graded one reason for one reason, something another reason. It just is going to cause major problems. Now, here's my question. Do we have an alternative to recommend, or are we just saying, because you did say we ought to have some kind of evaluation, just not as simple. What's the alternative that we would recommend?
The The draft accountability protocol is something like over 100 pages long. It's really complex. All you have to do is remove the grades. There's already different areas of strengths and weakness and things in between. It's all there. So what many districts across the state are kind of saying is, go ahead and use the accountability system that is in alignment with the district determination. The model is there. Just take away the letter grades, because when you put the letter grades on top of it, it gives a meaning that people think they understand, but it doesn't actually match what the accountability really is. So go ahead and use your accountability model in its complexity, but don't pretend that it's simple by putting letter grades on top of it.
You know, it's almost like, well, we've done this, and this is going to be beneficial, but there's no way the general public is going to understand it, so let's just put a grade by it, because they'll understand that. But as you just said, then it makes it more lacking understanding by having that out there just beside it.
Yes, sir. I think that the intent of the grading was, I mean, I'm giving the legislature the benefit of the doubt, that the intent of the grading system was to increase transparency, to say, oh, this is an A, this is a B, this is a C. We all know what those mean. But unfortunately, the accountability system is so complex, and it needs to be complex because of all the different things that we're measured by, that when you put that simple formula on top, it can misrepresent what's going on, and especially within the same district, as Mr. Eby said.
I think Ms. Eagle was next.
Well, we will still have the state report card on the state's website. It's available to the public, so that someone who is interested can look at, you know, this is how this school did in terms of attendance. This is how they did in terms of achievement. This is how they did in terms of growth. So all of the metrics for evaluating the quality of a school will be there. It's just not going to be stamped with a catch-all letter grade, which I think is, as you say, misleading. People need to look at the individual things to figure out where are the strengths, where can you improve.
Yes, I agree with what you just said.
Mr. Eby.
Is this something that we wrote up, or is this something that's being basically promulgated across the state at other districts too?
This was written by the Tennessee School Board Association, by TSBA, but it is slightly modified. I actually modified it to be a little less inflammatory in a couple of areas, because really when I speak to the people from the state, from the Department of Education, I really do feel that the complexity that they put in place is intended to give multiple entry points for success, either in achievement or growth. So the intent is positive. And so I want to make sure that in the resolution that we're not questioning the intent. I think that there is a potential to mislead or confuse, but I don't believe that there is an intent to do so, if that makes sense. So it's based on TSBA with a few modifications.
Motion on the floor is approval of a resolution to amend the letter grading of Tennessee Public Schools. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Motion carries unanimously. And let me mention, so I don't forget, I have a copy of the resolution that each board member needs to sign before you leave tonight. Okay, moving on to item I. Reclassification of Linden School Nurse. Dr. Borchers.
And Mr. Chairman, this is where we will have a change. So if I can, I'll read the recommended approval as we would like to vote on it tonight. So I recommend approval of reclassification of the school nurse at Linden Elementary from a 0.5 to a 1.0 position. This would be funded a 0.25 FTE from Title IV and a 0.25 FTE from the Health Services account number 141-72120-131.
Since we are amending this, I think we will have to vote on the amending part first and then come back and vote on the motion
that makes sense as a whole.
So just for the benefit, would you read that one more time, please?
Yeah, recommend approval of reclassification of the school nurse at Linden Elementary from a 0.5 to a 1.0 position. This would be funded 0.25 FTE from Title IV and 0.25 FTE from the Health Services account 141-72120-131.
You've heard the superintendent's recommendation to amend the reclassification of the Linden school nurse to those numbers. Do I hear a motion for approval on that amendment?
Move for approval.
Second.
Motion made by Mr. Eby, seconded by Ms. McLean. Any discussion on the amendment? Hearing none, we will vote on the amendment proposal of changing the reclassification with the numbers as presented by the superintendent. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries unanimously. Now we'll go to the reclassification of the Linden school nurse as amended. So we would have need to have a motion to approve that.
Move for approval.
Second.
Motion made by Mr. Eby, seconded by Ms. Marshall. Discussion or comments on the motion? Hearing none. The motion is reclassification of the Linden school nurse as amended. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries unanimously. Moving next to items for information. Item A, enrollment, questions or comments? Attendance, questions or comments? Financial report, questions?
Let me pull it up here.
Are we backing up or on financial?
Not on financial report.
Okay.
This is just, I want to make sure I understand. If I look at this fiscal year to date budget, that's not the fiscal year to date. That is the fiscal year budget, correct? The first column?
That is the fiscal year to date budget, as in the amendments, except with what's proposed tonight for any budget transfers.
Ah, so it is to date, and then as the budget changes from year to year. Thought I had you, but I guess it didn't.
The other thing that you will notice on this report that's new is, as per the suggestions of Lean Frog, we added an encumbered amount to this report, so you can see the encumbrances today.
Other questions? Item D, staff tuition. Dr. Borders.
Just very briefly, this is an update for the board. This has been an item that has been discussed a couple of times at our board retreat about tuition, attendance of non-resident students, and that tuition rate for our staff. Just want to let the board know that we have met a couple of times. We are looking at our board policies and our applications for this with the intent of bringing that back. We hope at our next board meeting for a first reading or first look of the board, we're trying to attempt to get our tuition rates that are somewhat comparable to area districts. We've had some staff request that we look at that. So this is going to be our attempt to try to address some of those concerns for all staff who live outside of our attendance area.
And we'll look forward to hearing that. Hopefully
our plan.
next is item for discussion. One item, review of superintendent evaluation. As the board knows, each board member has gone through the process of evaluating the superintendent based on our evaluation process as identified by the Board of Education. We've completed that part. We're now in the phase where Certainly hope that each board member between now and our January 22nd board meeting will meet individually with the superintendent. I know Mr. Eby and myself have both done that. It offers a time to have a good discussion about where we are and where we're going. I would, at this point in time, open for any comments that anyone would like to make at this time. Certainly, when we come back on the 22nd, it would be a time for renewal or extension of the superintendent's contract, and you certainly are open to make any comments or have discussion at that point in time. So is there anybody at this point in time that would like to make any comments? Mr. Eby.
Well, I'll make my standard comment every year. Certainly, I rated superintendent the lowest of anybody with regard to ethics and et cetera. And if I did not think he was ethical, he would not be in this position. I have a hard time giving anybody better than, meeting expectations when it comes to ethics. But if you do look at it, you will see I have several fours, and I think I even have 1.5 in that category with regard to how he treats people fairly, and I think he does that very, very well. So when people look and see that I think my ethics rating was a 3.6 versus others were above 4, I don't want people to think that I don't think that Dr. Borchers is ethical. I do think we're very fortunate to have him. Second point I want to make is he and I talked about was the journey that we're on with regard to continuous improvement. And, you know, I think that's something that he's brought to this school system that is now moving throughout the entire system and people has gained hold, and we're going to see that progress. And what I'd like to do, there is an award, it's called the Malcolm Baldrige Award. It's a quality award, it's the highest quality award given in the country. And you can get qualified examiners to come and evaluate your process and the process that we're going through. And so one thing that we talked about is, just calling the Malcolm Baldrige organization and just talk to him about that because we are on a journey. And, you get a rating of 1 to 5 and, 5 is Delta Airlines or somebody like that, and even if you get a 1, but, you're looking year to year the progress that you're making, and that's an outside independent examiner that can come in and do that. And I don't know if there's a cost to that or whatever, but I think it's at least having the conversation, because I think that the things that you are doing that you, with regard to the process, whether it's the 7 keys or the 2020 or whatever it is, it's something that we ought to look about. I bet you Ms. Marshall knows about the Malcolm Baldrige Award.
And I would add to that also, in our conversation, some things that the superintendent and I talked about was emphasis on technology during his tenure here, the use and increase of professional development, our improved media communication that we have, the community involvement. And I always use this, you'll probably get tired of me saying this, but if you all will remember, those who were on the board when we were deciding on a new superintendent, one of the things we said is that we want the superintendent to be standing in line at a grocery store and the person in front of him or behind him know who he is. That can be dangerous in some ways, but that philosophy is important because you have to know who the leader is of your district. The superintendent's professionalism. But one of the things, there are two things, and you, Mr. Eby, hit the nail on the head with one of the things that you said. The superintendent's organization of the administrative staff and getting the right people in the right places has made a difference that you can't measure. But we will measure, because the word you use, journey, we are on a journey. And if you don't have your leadership taking you on that journey, then we're not giving our staff the opportunity to do what they do best. And by all means, we're not putting our students in a position where they have that opportunity to complete their education and move on. We had a discussion, you know, a lot of people look at what our ACT scores are and how that growth is there. I told the superintendent, this is just me, my number one is our graduation rate. That's what I want to see, those students graduating with the knowledge and the ability to go on somewhere else and be successful in life. And we're on that journey. We are on that journey. And greatly appreciate where you're taking us and how you're going to get us there. You have exemplary people that support you. And I know you know that, but it is a team. But we're evaluating you, and if you don't have that leadership there, then you're not going to be successful. And the people realize that you are the leader, and you see the good things that are happening. And that's not to say that there's not areas. And if you would look at the evaluation, we know there's areas that we have to make progress in. We have to get better. And we are living in different times. And we've got to find a way to meet the needs of every student that comes through so they can graduate. So there we go with that. Okay. Moving on then, and we'll come back on the 22nd with the final step of that review. Moving on, any old business, new business, communications. We've got an interesting calendar in January. On the 16th of January, we have a joint work session with City Council. That's at 6 p.m. Do we have a, is that location going to be at Robert? Do we know that for, it's going to be at Robertsville on the 16th. On the 17th, we have a board visit to Glenwood at 7:45. On the 22nd, we have a second board meeting of this month. And then on the 31st, the board has a board visit to Woodland at 7:45. With that being said, it's time to reform our schedule for focus on education. I just jumped right in and took the first date, which is Wednesday, this coming Wednesday, and my guest will be Mayor Warren Gooch. So here are the dates, and there are, you can work with Mr. Clodney if these dates don't work, some flexibility, but here are the remaining dates. February the 7th, March the 7th, April the 4th, or May the 2nd. So if you'll let me know and then if we've got some that want to do one on the same date, we'll make some maneuvering there. But check for the board, check your schedules and see where you would like to plug in. That would be great. And again, Mr. Clodney, thank you for making this opportunity available for us. And for those who were not there on Monday when the teachers returned, there is a great video that he and his students put together, and it's an interview of students across the district. From preschool to seniors in high school, and the question they ask is, what is your dream? I'd like for the board member, is there some way you can...
So we went through all the schools and spoke with students at every grade level. Or at least the different school levels, from, as you said, pre-K all the way up through the high school, including at the Secret City Academy. And two of my students did a wonderful job of shooting the video and editing it together. And we showed you, when my students were editing it before break, he came to me and said, how long are you thinking? And I said, you know, 8 to 10 minutes is probably what we're looking at. Anything longer than that, and there'll be a riot on the teacher in-service day. And he said, okay, good, it's 25 minutes. He cut down a highlight reel version, and we kept the big long one, and then he also broke it up by schools. And on Friday when I left, it was all uploading to the Oak Ridge School's YouTube site. Ostensibly, it's finished and ready to go, but I didn't check it today because we were home. But you should be able to go onto the Oak Ridge School's YouTube site, see the videos, both the one that we showed you at the in-service day, which is just me asking the kids, what's your big dream, and then them telling us that. And then the 25-minute version is the follow-up questions that I asked to try to get a little more out of them, find out why they're interested in it. And then each school is broken up from the full version. So if parents don't want to sit through all 25 minutes to find their kids, they can go straight to the Glenwood one or Linden or whatever and see the full interview with each kid. So like I said, I can't necessarily know it's there because I haven't checked it, but
it's there.
It's there and it's public and everyone can see it.
Mr. Chairman, I haven't seen it yet, but it sounds like it's very good. Why don't you show it on Channel 15 during the week, just like you show some of our Focus on Education?
Yeah, we definitely will. We wanted to make sure it debuted for the teachers and then got everything ready before we rolled it out. So I want to make sure it's up online, ready to go. Because I know once people see it, they'll want to see more of it, and I wanted to make sure it was ready online so that when they tried to say, hey, I saw my kid, am I going to see him again? You can just point them straight to the YouTube site.
Thank you. All right, anything else? Thank each of you for being here. It's going to be 78 degrees tomorrow. Wear your shorts. And then you'll be back to 25 again after that. Thank you for being here. We appreciate what you do. We are adjourned.